I meant to mention that our flowers beneath the cross are from yesterday for Dolly's service. Our psalm for today begins simple enough. Have mercy on me, O God. It's a perfectly acceptable prayer of confession, something that would never seem strange to hear in church, something that doesn't really offend our ears if we heard it. Typically, it's done on Ash Wednesday, but we moved it back to this Sunday because we are focusing on the Psalms. It's a good place to start for Lent with confession. While it might not offend our ears, if you read the context of what the scholars believe this was written in response to, it might raise an eyebrow or two. It says before the psalm, when the prophet Nathan came to David about Bathsheba. Now, I'm leaving out the adultery because it's more than that. It's more than that. It was a spiral downward. We have every indication to believe that David used his power to take what he wanted, specifically to take who he wanted. There's no indication that there was any kind of a relationship, and it wasn't about love. It was about lust. Then she gets pregnant. Then he tries to cover it up by summoning her husband home back from war, a war that he himself should have been there in the first place as king of Israel, leading his armies. And he called him back so that, well, they could have relations. Well, that didn't happen. And if they had relations, then he could say, well, the baby wasn't his. But the husband refuses to be with Bathsheba because of a vow he took when he went off to war. So, David gives this man, the husband, a note to send back to the front lines that remained unopened, to give to the commander of the army that said, hey, this guy, send him to the front lines. Make sure that he's in danger so that he'll lose his life. And sure enough, he is killed in battle. So that is the whole story. It's a scandal that would have brought down many leaders. And he only confessed it when, well, Nathan found out about it. He killed somebody. He arranged to have somebody killed for convenience sake. Yet David says he wants to remain king and has the boldness to ask God for forgiveness. And not only that, but as it continues on past the point of our scriptures today, in verse 13, David says, I would like to teach others your praise, your being God. Verse 14, I want to be able to declare your praise. 15, I want to sing of your righteousness, just like he used to be restored. Despite what he did, he believes in God's graciousness so much so that he believes he can stay in his position of power, that he could still be king, that he could still be seen as somebody who was God's king, God's chosen one, a man after God's own heart, as it says in the Old Testament, David. He was a sinner on a large scale, but yet, he was forgiven. So the question is, why do so many of us everyday normal sinners who aren't famous, who are not leaders of nations, feel so unworthy of God's mercy? Some I have known over the years stay away because of the guilt that they carry around in their hearts, the yoke that they have. They don't ask God. They don't come to God. They don't ever start making that first step. Have mercy on me. That simple phrase. They wallow in guilt and despair, some for years. We might be tempted to think we're on the other side of the issue, that we don't have anything to confess or not that much to confess. But Paul reminds us in Romans that all of us fall short of the glory of God. So this is a necessary step. Admitting our faults can't just be as simple as that. The first step in a 12-step program is to admit that we have a problem. Are we willing to admit that we have a problem, a sin problem? If we can, then we can begin this journey of transformation. Then we can set out on our Lenten walk on the right foot. It might feel unpleasant, might be painful, it might be depressing. But afterwards, doesn't it feel good to get that weight off your chest? Our human situation is often messy. The world is messy, in large part because of sin, in large part because of institutionalized sin, things that we say is okay, and we do anyways, or willfully looking the other way when we see an injustice or notice something that's wrong, not do anything about it, not say anything about it. Whitney Brown said this, that any good history book is just mainly a long list of mistakes. Long list of mistakes in the course of human history. Wars, it has names and dates, and it can be very embarrassing at times. The biblical story is like this as well. There's no shortage of people being redeemed. In fact, it principally is a story about people being redeemed. The Bible, all kinds of people, persecutors like Saul, Moses, who was a murderer, David, a conspirator, all kinds of people were able to turn back to God. And yet, the prevailing thought is in our culture is that people don't change. And to that I say, oh, really? The nation of Israel, all kinds of things were listed amongst their transgressions, dates. The early church, half the New Testament is Paul telling the church and trying to correct them, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. In culture, I've noticed, I'm sure you've noticed as well, that we love a good redemption story. We love a good comeback story, right? Somebody who had a difficult past, somebody who's trying to put things back together again. I often wonder why this is. Maybe because we think to ourselves, well, if they can turn it around, if they can do it, if they can make a change, then why can't I? Why can't we do the same thing? All kinds of people. Mike Tyson, Winona Ryder, Tiger Woods, Rob Lowe. The list can go on and on. People have made grave mistakes and are largely in today's world seen positively. Well, in today's message, it's easy to wallow in our own misery. The human condition of sin is the bad news, but the real emphasis of this psalm is about not human nature, but God's nature. God's nature. And what is that? God's nature is a forgiving nature, is a gracious nature. It is a nature that surpasses all understanding, because it eclipses what our own capacity is for forgiveness and grace, does it not? It is persistent. It is enduring. It is powerful, more powerful than any brokenness, than any crime, than any sin. I have yet to see anyone struck down when coming to God. I've yet to see anyone pass out from coming into church because of the judgment of God, even though they say and believe in their minds that they are not worthy. God is willing to forgive and to recreate people, anybody, any person out there. This psalm is a proclamation of the good news of God's grace. So, as we start our journey this Lent, we can think of it as an examination of our hearts. Think about the things that might not be obvious even. Maybe it's something hidden. Maybe it's something that we've covered up. Maybe it's something that we've forgotten about, an attitude that lingers, something that we remain covered. Do we harbor resentment of somebody? Do we have something that somebody has done against us and sinned against us in some way that we're still holding on to? That's why it's important sometimes to give ourselves space and consider, give ourselves a bit of wilderness, time. Let this be an invitation to start again, to clear the slate, to be reconciled to God, to be remade, to be put back together, to be made whole. It can be as simple as starting by saying, "Have mercy on me, O God." Amen.